Luke chapter 17. Get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17. I want to talk to you. Here's the title, John. Duties of a Christian. Duties of a Christian. I'll tell you, the last two Sunday mornings, that message I preached on the resurrection last Sunday morning and that message I preached this morning, boy, if you didn't get to hear them, get those tapes. I just felt God had his hand on both those messages. I know a lot of people are out there in the land today, but get those tapes. They'll be an encouragement. Not only that, you could hear them, then you could give them somebody where you work at or your friend or your family. Say, here, here's our... a lot of times your family won't come to church, but you could bring the church to your family by getting Johnny to run one of those, what do you call them, CDs? One of those discs. And then they could take that because everybody's got those players and they can listen to them, to the Word of God. You don't know what God's going to do. Amen? So, alrighty. Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here tonight. We did have a lot of visitors. Like I was telling the men before church, not only did we have a lot of visitors, but we baptized four adults that had got saved last few weeks. We had people saved, and four of them were baptized on Wednesday night, and all four of them were in church today. That's exciting, seeing new converts. She's one back again tonight. The other lady, she lives in Canton, but one of the ladies that were visiting, Chloette. Anyways, we're excited about what God's doing in people's lives. The one lady was from Alabama, and other folks are from New Mexico, and it's pretty exciting to see what God's doing. Amen? Jackie, good to see you, Jack. God bless you. Alrighty. Luke chapter 17, look at verse 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is on the field, go and sit down and to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherein I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant? Now he's asking you a question. And then he gives you the answer. Should I thank this servant for doing what he's supposed to be doing? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. In other words, that word says, I trow means I think not. No way. Let me put this in the kids. Let me do this not from the Greek, not from the Hebrew, but let me give it to you, to the teenagers. In other words, he was saying, no, I am not. I don't need to thank him. He was saying in the teen language, he would say, duh, not. That's the translation for the teenagers. Should I thank him for doing his job? Duh, not. Did I get it, kids, or close to it? Or was that 5 years ago? Oh, I got it. All right. I'm in. Brother Bobby's teaching me some things. Okay. Now, if I can get past the... Look at verse 10. That's my text verse. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. You know, Pastor Dave preached on this morning. We are so unprofitable. We're not worthy for nothing. We need to get that kind of attitude. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God, and indeed it is precious. And Lord, I just thank you for putting things in my heart. And I just want to be a blessing and edify the people. I know that nothing I'm going to say today, Father, is going to be new to them, but I pray it'll be strengthened and established and settle them in their walk with you. Father, help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That statement in verse 10, tremendous statement. If you look at that, we have done that which was our duty to do. That servant did what he was supposed to do. There was no need to thank him. There was no need to give him special treatment. That servant, by feeding the cattle or doing what he was, he just did what he was supposed to do. See, that servant was doing his duty. We as Christians have a duty to serve our Savior. Listen, that servant didn't deserve any special treatment. He didn't deserve an extra pat on the back because he just obeyed what he was commanded to do. That servant did his job. That servant did what he was supposed to do. The question is asked in verse 9. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. No. You don't need to thank people for doing what they're supposed to, their duty. Amen? Listen, I don't believe so. I don't think so. I suppose not. No. No. You don't thank the servant for just doing his job. It's his duty to do the job. Now, we've got some soldiers in our church, and I thank God for our soldiers. We even had a young man who was I think he's in the reserves with us today. And let me give you an example, and I know the soldiers will come along with this. When a soldier is given a command by the ranking officer to do this or to do that, that officer doesn't say, "Thank you, Private, for obeying what I told you to do." Sergeant Cotiver tells the guy to do something, he's expecting to do it. Captain Freimeyer says, "Hey, get over here." He's expecting one thing. No talk back, just to do it. Can you imagine the Captain Freimeyer or Sergeant? "Boy, Private, thank you for obeying my order. Boy, I really appreciate it. Boy, you're nice. Thank you for doing that." No way. "Come here, let me eat. Come in and eat with the officers. You don't need these." No. Hello? How many are still with me? No, I noted this. That officer doesn't say, "Oh, thank you, Private, for obeying my orders." That officer expects that soldier to obey his orders on command. Right now, snap to it. And if that soldier doesn't obey, he's in trouble. Big trouble. It's that soldier's duty. It's that soldier's duty to follow orders. And it's that soldier's duty to obey those orders, whether if he likes it or not. Did you get what I said? That soldier's supposed to obey orders no matter if he likes them or not. Same way as Christians, we're soldiers for the cross. No matter what the Lord tells us to do, whether we like or not, we have a duty to do it. Listen, you can't have an army of soldiers that won't take orders. If the soldiers doesn't serve and defend, then you have no frontline defense. Because the success of any army or group, that is, people must be subject to orders passed down from the chain of command. Headquarters, orders come down from headquarters down through chain of command, and it's important that everybody obeys the chain of command. Orders, commands are made to be followed and carried out. No soldier will tell you that right now. When they give Sergeant Cotiver an order to do something, you know what that commanding officer is saying? "I'm expecting this to get done now, and I expect to get it done right." Are we any different than the Lord telling us to do something? Hello? Listen, it's the duty of the soldier to take orders and to perform them and to do them to the best of his ability. I know that football was on today, so I gave you a football example. Well, no one showed up at the Cleveland game, but they did have a game. Boy, they got more problems than the flu in that Cleveland team. But the success of a football team, the head coach makes up a plan and a play, and each man has a job to do. And it's their duty either to block, or if they're a lineman, or to run if they're a tailback, or to catch or to tackle. Whatever position they're playing, they have a plan for each play, and each one of them have a certain job they're supposed to do. And it's their duty to do it. And by the way, if they don't do it, success will not come. See, are you still with me? We as Christians are the same way. Jesus is our commander in chief. And we are soldiers of the cross. And we are his servants. And Jesus has given us commands and orders for us to carry out. And by the way, those orders come from his word. That's why it's important you get the right orders from the right headquarters. Amen. And Jesus, not only did he give us orders, he expects us to obey them. It's our duty as good Christians. It's my duty to obey them. And when I obey them, I shouldn't expect to be given a pat on the back every time I do something. Because I'm just like that servant. I'm just doing my duty. It's my duty to obey him. It's your duty to obey him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, that's what, don't leave Luke 17. Why should I give him a big thanks? That was just his reasonable service. That was his reasonable duty. Look up here, Christians. We ought not get a big head and say, boy, I deserve to do this. I'm working a thing for God, or I'm singing in the choir, or I'm working bus rider. No, we're just doing our duty. It's my duty. Are you still in Luke 17? It's my duty to forgive others. Look at Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, for if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know, one of the things, hardest thing for one of the jobs of a preacher to keep a flock together is to keep people from fighting each other, fussing and feuding, fuming. Well, I never, And look up here. This is a great church. I don't know of anything right now. I'm giving you preventative medicine. Because an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Amen. See, right now, I'm not trying to cure nothing. I don't know of any problem I have right now. I'm just trying to put a little ounce out there of prevention to try to help us in the future. But I've pastored going close to 30 years, not quite 30 years. I've been in the ministry for a long time. And Bobby, I've seen people's lives. And look, now you listen to me now. Listen to me. When you don't have forgiveness in your heart, if I don't have forgiveness in my heart, you know what's going to happen? Satan's going to get a foothold, and you're going to get bitterness, and you're going to get bitter, and you're going to get bitter, and the next thing you know, you're going to make it hard on yourself, your family, and all that's around you, and you're going to be a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone. We need to learn to forgive people. Well, I'll forgive them if they tell me I'm sorry. Listen, go to them and say, I'm sorry. I've shared this 1,000 times. One time, Lizzie and Eddie got in an argument years ago. But I'm using it as an illustration. Eddie came and said, man, we're really getting bad. I said, come here. I said, here's some, go down and buy a nice bouquet of flowers and go back and tell Lizzie you're sorry. He said, preacher, it wasn't my fault. It was hers. I said, I don't care if it was her fault. You go back and tell her you're sorry and stop this fighting and bickering. We've got a work of God to do. You're one of the main people in the church. He went back, got her the flowers, told her he was sorry, and they got, come on, preacher, we're back. We're back. Thank you, preacher. Thank you. Wasn't me at all. It was God's word. All he did was obey his, all he did is his duty. Although I think you might, if he did tell me the truth, you probably were at fault that time, Lizzie, but that's the only time we've got you in 19 years. He probably lied, though, Lizzie, so it probably wasn't your fault anyways. He might have thought I was going to hit him, Lizzie, grab him by his neck, so I wouldn't hurt him. Because we had a lot of shaking going on when I first got her with that guy. It's come a long way, though. Listen to me. Learn to forgive people. Listen, everybody's having a tough time. A lot of people are underneath a lot of stress. Sometimes people say things. Sometimes they do things. Look, listen to me, Christian. None of us are perfect. And we're going to mess up. We're in imperfect bodies, and we've got a fallen nature that we're going to have to the day we die. Hallelujah, to the rapture, amen. I'll be glad to get rid of that old man, that Mr. Sin, that carnal mind, amen. But we got to learn to forgive people. And by the way, how many of you ever sinned? All right. Well, if the Bible says if you say you have no sin, you lie, you do not the truth. Listen to me. How many of you ever asked Jesus to forgive you? See, we expect him to forgive us, yet then we don't want to in turn forgive others. You ever see those big water tanks that they have all through the little, they have big, they call them reservoirs? See, we ought to have a big reservoir of forgiveness all tanked up, and when people come and just let some forgiveness go out. Oh, that's right. I messed up too. Let's not let Satan get the victory. Let's just get down, pray together, and let's just thank God for loving us, and let's serve him. Let's not let no bitterness come between us. Amen. It's your duty. If you got something against somebody right now, and you're bitter about something, it's your duty. It's your duty. It's your duty to forgive them. Because duty demands it. Amen. Duty. Duty of a Christian. Number one, it's the duty of a Christian. It should be forgive people. Jesus says they forgive if they do it seven times in a day. And Peter said, well, how about seven times seven? 49. Jesus said, yes. If you forgive a guy 49 times, I think you'll forgive more than that, won't you? I wonder how many thousands of sins I've done, and Christ keeps forgiving me. Number two. It's not only is it my duty to forgive others, it's my duty to witness to others. It's my duty to witness to others. Luke 16:23 says, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You know why? Someone failed to witness. I think it was a week ago, I don't know if it was Brother Phil or Brother Mike Sell, somebody said that someone came and they said, no one's ever witnessed to him. By the way, let me ask you, I'll just do it. How many people in this church have anyone ever witnessed to you? Raise your hand. Not even half the people here. Less than half. That means, and look how many years, I can't remember anyone ever witnessing to me. Maybe they have, but I can't remember it. You know what that's telling me? We're not doing our duty. Because people are dying without Christ, and no one's witnessing to them. Don't count on someone else to do the job. When you meet somebody, try to witness to them. Have a track in your pocket. Say, hey, I want to give this to you. Just read it. You don't even have to give them the Roman road. Say, would you read this? It'll tell you how to get to heaven. Let the Holy Spirit work in our heart. Now, I can quote scripture, and then if the Lord opens the door, I'll do it too. But there's a lot of times I'll say, here, just take this and read this. Because I want to get the word of God in people's heart. I'm so glad someone cared about my soul. Amen. I read a scripture this afternoon. It's a familiar scripture. You guys all know it. Psalms 142, verse 4. It says, he said, I went to the right, and no man cared for my soul. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I was at Billy Turner's church preaching Faith Promise about a month ago, and I told that church, I'm glad there was someone. I'm glad there was a church. I'm glad there was a people. I'm glad there was a pastor out there, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, that cared about a kid off the streets in a black leather jacket that didn't know nothing about God. But I'm glad they cared enough to tell me about Christ. Who have we told about Christ? By the way, it's our duty. It's our duty to forgive others. It's our duty to witness. Number three, it's our duty to pray for others. You know, how often do we pray for others? How often do we pray for, I mean, really, Lord, really help these people. I feel, I pray for Bobby and Jamie. I don't pray for you enough, because with those teenagers, we need to pray for them every day. You know, that's the hardest job in the church. The teen department is the hardest, because these kids are under more pressure, more stress. They're facing things now that we've never had to face when we were kids. I'm going to tell you right now, the youth director and his wife, I'm going to tell you right now, those people are under pressure to try to have the wisdom to try to help these kids in their life. Need to pray for them. Need to pray for your preacher. Pray for your deacons. Pray for the people of church. Pray for one another. We pray for what we're commanded. And then Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The reason we're fainting, we're not praying. Luke 18:1. So I said the duty of a Christian, number one, to forgive. By the way, if you don't forgive, you're not going to get this. I think that's number one. Because if you don't have a clean heart, you're not going to be an effective soul winner. If you've got bitterness in your heart. So I think, number one, the duties of a Christian, I think we need to forgive. I think, number two, we need to have witness to others, care about them going to hell. Number three, you ought to pray for others. And number four, it's my duty to come to church. It's my duty to come to church. I know you're tired. And by the way, I'm tired. I wasn't a good saint this afternoon. Saint, S-A-I-N-T. Sunday afternoon is nap time. I did not get a nap today. At least not enough that I wanted. I might have fell asleep for a few minutes in between I did fall asleep for a few minutes, but I woke up too soon. They were still playing football, and it was horrible. Because I have a big red chair, and they watch the TV. So I didn't go down to watch the TV. I just went there. I got a big old lazy boy. It's like 25 years old. It's all ripped up. Rosie wants to throw it, but I know I'm taking it to heaven with me. I love that old red chair, man. She says, I'm ashamed of it. I said, no one sees it but me. It's fine. Boy, it's comfortable too, buddy. It's comfortable. You sat in it, didn't you? Amen. It's comfortable. It's ripped up, but it's comfortable. And you know what? I go down there in Sunday afternoon. I just go down there, Brother Mark, and I act like I'm watching, but if you just give me 5 minutes, buddy, I'm in la-la land. And usually I don't wake up. Really, I don't usually wake up to about 4 o'clock, 4:30. It's all over. Whatever's going on, it's all over. And I just get the scores on the thing on the bottom of the TV. And, guess who won, you know. But today I saw the last whole quarter. It was bad. Oh, they're beyond prayer. And I know some of you are tired. And I'm tired. Brother Coolidge said, boy, I said, Coolidge, I am tired tonight. I really am. My body's tired. And, but you know what? It's important that we come to church. I want everyone to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. It's a familiar scripture, but I want you to see it. I can quote this scripture, and I had it here to quote you, but I'm not. I want you to read it. Hebrews 10:25. I'm glad you're in church tonight. And by the way, you made the right decision to come to church. You couldn't have chose a better thing. I was thinking about Brother Wade today. He choked me. He just got me up in tears. I love Big Wade. Wade's a big guy. He's tender-hearted. You know, he got laid off, but you know what? He used to always have to work. I thought, man, Lord, one thing, only thing good's come out of him being laid off. He's got to be in church. He's got closer to God through this. And he also showed me where that chicken place is in Lima. Lee's chicken, buddy. We might just go to Lima just to, big guy, we might just go to Lima just to go to Lee's chicken one day for a picnic. I'll buy. Plus, he might have saved my life. Literally. A deer ran out. If I'd have been driving, I probably would have hit that deer. Seriously, I probably don't have the reaction time that the young boy did. And man, that deer came right. It was right on us. I mean, right now. He went shoo, all the way to the right, then back to the left. Missed the deer. Boy, that was a blessing. Amen. Now, I don't know if the guy behind us got that deer, but we sure didn't. But I can see my first thing, I might have hit the brake. If I'd hit the brake, boom. Oh, I would have slowed down, but he would have been stopped at the goal line. I'm going to tell you right now, and the bumpers and the fenders and the wheel and the lights and everything would have been smashed. So, Brother Wade, I'm seeing all kinds of great things by you being laid off. All things work together for good. Amen? Because you wouldn't have been able to take me to Billy's church. You'd have been working. So there are some good things to look at this. Now when the bills come in, I know that's not going to be good, but it's our duty to go to church. And he's in church every service. I love having the big guy in church every service. Look at Hebrews 10:25, and that's what I'm getting at. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That's talking about going to church. How many got Hebrews 10:25? As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Mike, if there was a time for us to be in church, it's now. The day is approaching. Christ is coming back. I was telling the men, people are flipping out. I'm seeing the Bible says in the end times, and we're not in the end times yet, but the Bible says in the end times that the people should give the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And already I'm seeing Christians being affected. Satan is trying to affect people with demons affecting their mind. You can't be possessed. If you're saved, greater is he that's within you than he's against you. But you can be oppressed. And I'm seeing more Christians under stress, and it seems like they're giving into seducing spirits and doing things that they would not normally do. We need to be in church. So then faith cometh by hearing by the... But look at that scripture again. Not only do you get built up in the faith, not forsaken as some of you, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much as the day is, you see the day approaching. Look up here. It's a time that we can encourage, exhort. In other words, you lift people up. When you come to church, it ought to help your life. Church ought to be a time that you get blessed and people around you get blessed. That's why Pastor Dave's been trying to get you, pray before you come. Before every service, come, before you come, pray, oh God, give me a blessing, and oh God, make me a blessing. You ought to come looking to be a blessing, and come. You ought to come every service to get a blessing. Because I'm going to tell you, we're living in some hard times. And Brother Kotiver, if we don't encourage one another, we don't lift each other up, and listen, you stay out of church, you're going to be discouraged. You might be a little more tired when you get home tonight, but I'm going to tell you, you were better off here than you would be in front of that boob tube. Because the Holy Spirit's ministering to your soul and spirit right now. How many are still with me? Your spirit, you're being edified in the Word. And so we're to come. And we're to the fellowship. Listen, not only do you need preaching, you need the fellowship that's inside the church. You know, people are going through the same things. And we're a family. We're a big family. We are. We need each other. Number five. Boy, hold on to your wallet now. We're talking about duty. It's my duty to pray. It's my duty to witness. Are you with me? It's my duty to forgive. It's my duty to go to church. And it's my duty to tithe. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, would a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me in tithes and offering. 10% of what you make, God should get 10%. The first 10. When I get my paycheck every Friday, I take out the money and I put my tithe in every Friday. You can come over to my house. It's already in there. I cash that check and I put my faith promise missions. I put my tithe in. I put my God's 300 in. I put my helping hands in. Whatever, how many boxes they got. Man, I'm glad we ain't got any more boxes. I'm out of money. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make sure I give God his first. And if you'll do that first, you won't end up spending it. And you have a clean conscience towards God. You said, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. You better listen to me. Who wants to be a God robber and being cursed? If you make $100, it's $10. You make $500, it's $50. You make $1,000, it's $100. 10%. Now, I give, that's just the minimum. But you should at least give the minimum. 10%. Amen? And you be faithful to that, God will give you more. Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe is the Lord's and it's holy. You read Leviticus 27, verse 30 to 32. You know, you can say all you want. I could talk to you all day. 1 Corinthians. You say, oh, all these are Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Turn to it. Well, I'm having fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, that's who you are if you're saved, as I've given order to the churches, hello, Bethel Baptist Church, don't matter if you're a teenager, if you're a senior citizen or middle, don't matter how old you are, if you make any money, listen, even when Natalie and Tippy Brooke and my grandkids, Austin and Rady Ray, when they get money, I say, now, remember, the other day, Luke, he had somebody say, remember now, don't forget the tithe for the Lord. He had $2. I said, remember, 20 cents is the Lord's. See, I taught Tammy and David Richard when they were little kids about tithing. When David William first met Tammy, he wasn't used to tithing. But Tammy's a stickler on tithe. You know why? Because her daddy taught her from the scriptures, it's good to tithe. We've never had a lot of money, but I'll tell you one thing. I haven't went without too many meals. And I always put my tithe first. And by the way, if I didn't eat, I'd still put my tithe in first. Because I'm gonna do right by God. And by the way, Bobby, I did it from, and I've been very fortunate. After I got saved, I have never had trouble tithing. I mean, I got saved, and I just said, am I supposed to put 10% in? They said, yep. And I said, I'll do it. And man, I, from a kid at Allied Chemical, I put in 10 and put more in because I want to give to God because he gives so much to me. Amen? Don't ever be ashamed of tithing. Be ashamed if you don't tithe. That says one thing, you're not right with God. You don't have enough faith to trust him. But by the way, I don't even talk about faith. It's your duty. I'm talking about the duties of a Christian today. I told you it was our duty to pray. I told you it was our duty to forgive. I told you it was our duty, and it is. I showed you scripture. I told you it was duty to witness. I'm telling you it's our duty to tithe. The Bible teaches it. Now concerning the collection of the saints, I have given an order to the churches. Even so do you upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And that's to the local church. Don't send it to the guy on TV. Don't say, I sent my tithe to this guy over there on channel 48, whatever channel he's on. I don't even know. I don't watch it, so I don't know what channel. I'm just making up a channel. Yeah? Well, he's not the guy that you should tithe to. You tithe to your local church. When you get a heart attack in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, you won't be calling Benny Hinn. You'll be calling preacher. Or Pastor Dave, or one of my deacons. I guarantee you, you won't be calling them. You won't be calling the guy over there that has his telephone straight to his wife's coffin, Ainsley. You won't be calling him. Now I'm really getting people upset, ain't I? You can send all your money to that foolishness that you get caught up into, but that God doesn't honor that kind of money. God honor says, bring your tithe and your money into the storehouse. This is the storehouse of God right here. By the way, this is where you get your food. Amen? And this is what Jesus built. He built the church, the local church. So it's my duty. See, I'm 60 years old. I got saved when I was 21. No, I got saved when I was 20. I surrendered to preach when I was 21 on my birthday. So I got saved when I was 20. I'm 60. I've been tithing for 40 years. Because see, kids, duh. Well, these kids are BBCA kids. They know. They know geometry and everything. We got smart kids in our school. But see, 60 minus 20 is 40. So I've been tithing for 40 years. God don't need to pat me on the back for doing it. Brother Mike, I was just taking orders from the commander-in-chief. You see, it's been my duty to tithe for 40 years. By the way, it's your duty too. And when we stand before God, he's going to say, how'd you obey my orders? Well, I couldn't trust you. No, you were disobedient. I've had people tell me, and I'll get off this. Man, if I was a millionaire preacher, I'd tithe then. Liar. If you won't tithe on $100, which is only 10, you're going to tell me you're going to give me 10% of a million? Hello? What is that, 100,000? Yeah, you ain't going to do that. When you won't even give God 10 on 100, don't look for the hit that Monopoly million-dollar thing. You ain't going to get it. But I'll take all the stickers you can give me from McDonald's because I tithe. He might let me have it. And by the way, if I get it, he'll get more than the tithe. We'll be building the next day out there in the land. Amen? It's my duty to tithe. It's my duty to give. And by the way, we got new people. It's our duty to pray about what God would want us to give the faith promise. It's not your duty, but as a Christian, you ought to pray about what you can do for missions. People are dying going to hell. Now, the tithe is the Lord's. Faith promise is above that, and I understand that. And I know we're in economical straits right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, people are still dying and going to hell. You need to pray about faith promise mission. Maybe you can give a couple bucks every week. Every little bit helps. Pray about missions. Someday we're going to have another Faith Promise Missions Conference. And I know people are going through hard times. I know you're having tough. But you know what? It just seems like God's, if you trust God, he supplies. It's my duty to give. Number six, it's my duty to read my Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study the soul thyself, approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, it's our... I'm really going to push for us all to read the New Testament together. I think it's going to be so much fun. But did you know what? Beyond having fun, it's our duty. See, I believe it's our duty to read the Bible every single day. I really believe that. He says to study, to read, to search, to learn. Listen, we ought to, some people read the newspaper and they'll read books, but they won't even open their Bible. It's our duty to read the Bible. I know this is a plain message, but folks, the duties are plain. Do this, do this, do this. Amen? And I was telling the guys out in front, you know, if all of us read our Bible, before I was out there in front, before church started today, with the men, I said, you know what, that's not really want to get all, because some of the members here are doing some stupid things sometimes. I said, you know, you get everybody reading the Bible, it'll help us to get more in tune with God. And some of those things that we would not normally do, we won't do them because we'll be in tune with God. It's our duty to read the Bible. Then number seven, and I got 10 of them if you're wondering how many. It's my duty to love the Lord. Luke, go back to Luke chapter 17, but I'm gonna quote to you something. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. But Luke 10:27, it says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. We're to love him. Listen, we're to love Jesus with everything we have in our being. It's our duty to love him. But boy, I couldn't think of a... Look at verse 12. We're like these lepers that got healed. Look at Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into certain villages, there was met him ten men that were lepers. Now, you know, leper, that was their body was decaying and rotten. It's a picture of sin. There was no cure for it. It's an instant death. Not instant, a slow dying death. Leprosy. You couldn't cure it. It's the type of every person. We're all lepers because we all have sin that's destroying and eating away at our body till we die. Are you with me? We're all lepers in a spiritual sense. 10 men were lepers and they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he had saw them, he said to them, go show lights unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Well, I'm glad Jesus cleansed us from all our sin. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, He turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving them thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I'm going to tell you, that we're like, most of us are like the 9. We've been saved from the depths of hell. He's cleansed us of all our sins. He's changed our life. He's given us a bright future, home in heaven, streets of gold, brand new body, and blessed us beyond measure. And we never even love him. We soon forget what he's done for us. We're like the 9. We don't love him like we should. We don't worship him like we should. We don't serve him like we should. That's a duty. It's duty we should worship him. It's duty that we should love him. Amen? Don't be like those 9. And then, not only is it my duty to love the Lord, to tithe, to read my Bible, it's my duty to work for Jesus. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:58, Tommy likes this verse. We've used it over in the ABL program. It says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, it's our duty to work for Jesus. It's our duty to work. I mean, I thank God this is a working church. You know what? And I know when we get time, God's going to, but it's our duty. It's our duty to do that. It's our duty to serve. It's our duty to work. It's our duty to do what you're doing. I'm glad, and I thank God you do it, but it's our duty to do it. It's our duty to teach school. It's our duty to work in there. It's our duty to clean the floors. It's our duty to witness. It's our duty to give. Listen, everything we're doing, it's our duty. It's our reasonable service. Oh, there's going to be times I give you gratitude of thanks and stuff, but even if I don't quit doing it, because don't do it for me. Amen. Do it for the Lord. Amen. Do it because it's your duty to do it. Like Billy Turner and my ushers, you guys do a tremendous job. They really do. I thank God, and I don't thank them enough. But I'm going to tell you, Billy, I know it's your duty to be the head usher. And he went to make, it's your duty, and I'm glad you're doing your duty, Bill. You're a good soldier. And Carl McDaniel and all you guys, thank you for being what your duty is. He's 80 years old. He's still taking orders, still doing his duty. Billy's 75, looks like he's 55. Still jumping out of airplanes. Oh, here I come, Martha. Doing them sky things. Billy Turner ain't never going to get old. Dorothy, you got a young guy there. Hold on to him. I know he's going up in the rapture. That guy's going to make it like Moses, man, or Methuselah. Amen? Listen to me. Sometimes we think, well, boy, God ought to appreciate me. No, we ought to appreciate the Lord. See, everything we're doing, it's our duty to do it. It's our duty to work for him. Then number 9, I'm going to close. It's my duty to look for Jesus. Matthew 24:42 says, watch, therefore, for you know not what hour he cometh. Verse 44 says, be ye also ready, for the hour ye think not he cometh. You know what? We need to be ready. We need to be looking for him. I quoted this scripture this morning, Philippians 3:20, and we look for the Savior, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to come from heaven. Are you looking for him? Did you know it's our duty to look for him? By the way, when we're looking for him, we're going to serve him better. Hello? It's our duty. It's our duty, lastly. It's my duty to live a separated life to the best of my ability. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, and come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Bobby, you brought a great message on being a Christian. But we ought to be a Christian. It's our duty to be a Christian. See, we ought not watch pornography movies because it's our duty not to watch pornography movies. We ought not be drinking because it's our duty not to drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever takes it to deceive their brother. It's our duty not to have sex out of holy wedlock. It's our duty, you know, listen to me. It's just our duty not to watch that filthy TV when they got Eve on. Take it off. Read your Bible. I could go on all night about separation. Folks, boy, you ought to be proud of me. I live a clean, separate life. It's my duty to do that.
Preacher, I ain't cussed in 5 years.
It's your duty not to do that. Hello? I mean, folks, God, we're soldiers of the cross. The commander-in-chief has given us some orders. And we're to obey his orders. How many are soldiers of the cross? I'm going to close with this scripture. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this. By the way, let's be good soldiers of the cross. And let's do our duty. It's our duty to please our Lord. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 4, that it may please him. That pleased him who had chosen him to be a soldier. He's chosen us to be a soldier for him. I'll tell you why we do it. Because duty demands it, and I want to please him. I want to please him. How many want to please him? And soldiers of the cross, this week, go out and do your duty. Go out and do your duty as a soldier of the cross, and please him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Help us, Father, to do our duty as Christians. There's a whole lot more. I just think these covered most of it. And Father, I pray, even though I didn't say anything they haven't heard, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll strengthen and settle and encourage them to go out and even have a more closer walk with you than they've ever had. Help us to realize, Father, it's our duty. It's our duty to sing in the choir. It's our duty to do those things. It's our duty to give. It's our duty to witness. It's our duty to forgive. It's our duty. It's our duty. All these things. It's our duty. As Christian soldiers of the cross, it's our duty to do what our Savior has commanded us. We don't need a pat on the back. Oh, I believe someday in heaven you're going to give people rewards. But Lord, all we're doing as that man said in Luke 17, we just did our duty. Help us to have that attitude in our heart that we're not special at all. We're just doing our duty with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe tonight, look, everyone here is saved. Maybe you haven't been doing your duty lately. Maybe tonight you just might want to come and pray and say, God, help me. Help me to be that Christian soldier and to do my duty. Do the duty as you called me to do, so I'll please you. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, dear God, to know what our duty is and to perform it and to be good soldiers. The soldier goes to the front line because he's ordered to go. It's his duty to go. He serves because it's his duty. He lays his life down because it's his duty as a soldier. Help us as Christian soldiers to do what's our reasonable service and understand it's our duty. It's our duty. It's our duty to do those things that were commanded from our Savior. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.